Good morning.
Morning.
As I always say, when the toothpick comes out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts. We're going to open up the Word of God and rightly divide it in context. Today is the third, I believe, right? Second? Okay. 8/2/2020. I got the year right. You know, I always come up short, Bill. And I'm Paulette. For people who don't know me, I'm Paul Baalbeck III. I'll be filling in for Dave today. Like I said, you always can tell I'm not him. You know, Dave's what, about eight feet tall? And I keep coming up short. So, now don't think I came in like a slob. I'm trying to grow a skinny beard, so I did shave, but I thought maybe with a beard would slow me down, you know, I'd fly through verses. You know, but the haircut on the side keeps me fast. So let's open up with prayer and let's enjoy studying the Word of God. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for another day of grace. We look so forward to the rapture, Father, when Christ comes and calls out his ambassadors and we go to be with him in heaven forever. But I thank you that it hasn't happened yet, because there's many that don't know you lost in this world. People in our families, our friends, co-workers, even our enemies. So while we're here, Father, use us to reach out to the lost and to build up and edify the saved. And anything done here, Father, I pray it's done in the power of your Holy Spirit. And I pray also for the pastor as he teaches and preaches at church, that your Spirit empowers him. And you your Holy Spirit just illumines our mind to grasp these truths, wonderful grace truths in your word. And may Christ be glorified in it all. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So the name of my message today is going to be, how does God transform and grow us? Now, if that don't interest you, then I don't know what to tell you. Maybe, you know, some people like to be in their comfort zone. Well, we all do, don't we? We all kind of like to be comfortable in our lives. And stepping out in faith ain't easy. But I'll tell you, I can remember when I first started preaching at the seniors' home, and the guy didn't show up. I think some of you have heard this story before. You know, the longer you know somebody, you heard their stories. Oh, like when you're married, right? Yeah, you told me that one. But anyway, the guy didn't show up. I was a Pentecostal back then, and I didn't really know much about the word. And the guy didn't show up. I was going to preach, and the ladies asked me, Paul, will you preach today? And I'm like, hey, my legs started shaking, literally, my knees. I said, I've never done anything like that. And they used guilt on me. Well, they won't be able to have the church service today. You know, mothers will do that to you, right? Grandmas, to get you to do something. Lay the guilt on you. And anyway, so I said, all right, Lord, I'll do it. But you're going to have to do it through me, because I don't know what I'm doing. And because I was just thrown out there, I just opened up the Bible. This is how some people study the Bible. Okay, we're going to go here today. You know, I didn't have time to study, but I'll tell you, once I took that step of faith, I got out of my comfort zone, I started preaching powerfully. I couldn't believe it. I still don't believe what God does through, you know, when we offer ourselves to him. You ever wonder sometime where that come from, you know, when you're sharing with somebody? So I hope we all have a desire to grow, and we don't want to stay just in our little comfort zones, and, you know, we step out in faith, and that's where the excitement is. You know, it's the battle, but there's excitement in the battle, and that's where victory comes too, and you experience that the in-living life of Christ outliving out of you. So let's go to how does God grow us? And you know, God is doing the work, but we cooperate with his Holy Spirit. You know, when God said to study, is he gonna the Holy Spirit studying it for us? We got to get out the Word of God, right, and study. So go to Philippians 2:13. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. While you're looking, keep Chris in prayer. He got two wisdom teeth pulled out. So he's kind of sore. That's why he's not here. And then I'm married to her. She worked out kind of hard. And she's so sore. She was crying. So I'm in pain. So I'll keep her in prayer too. That, you know, stay focused and just God have mercy upon her. Philippians 2:13. For it is God. Think about that. Who is God? Almighty God, all-powerful God, right? Omnipotent, all-knowing, all-loving. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So see, God, if we're believers, his Spirit comes in and dwells us, right? He seals us. And now he wants to grow us. He wants to transform us. He wants to transform us more and more into the image of Christ. And so we always have to remember, we can't make ourselves grow. You know, I remember my partner, he got saved and he said, oh, there's so much to learn and, you know, so much growing. I go, just take it a little at a time. Start studying, you know, teach somebody how to study. And it's God takes his time with us. But he wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to stay where we were last year. I mean, you know, or when we first got saved. It's fine to have baby food when you first get saved, right? Like a baby. Yeah, look at, they spit it out, right? You know, they spit it at you. And it's cute, you know, for a little baby. But when you're 21 or 41 or 51 and you still need milk, still need a bottle, that just ain't right, ain't it? That's like retarded growth. And that can happen. I've seen believers that have been a Christian for years and years, but they don't get into the Word, and they don't rightly divide it, and they don't apply it. See, it doesn't just stop at rightly dividing it. We'll see. We need to apply the Word of God. That's how we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Go to Romans 16:25. What's God going to use, Romans 16:25, to grow us? Let's see if I can get in all my verses today. That will be the age of miracles reopened. This is what God is going to use. Now to him. So we're talking about God, the God who works in you, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. That is of power to establish you. Now my New King James says establish. And the word comes from the Greek. and it means to give a steadfast. It's where we get the word stereo from, a balance. You know, it balances this. We're going to see what balances our life. And gives us a steadfast, solid, firm, a movable spiritual condition. Should I read that again? I'll try and do it slower. To establish has the idea, establish, to have a steadfast, solid, firm, unmovable, I'm going to add unstoppable spiritual condition. Do you want that? One person does. Praise God. Myrtle, that coffee again needs to be stronger. So what's God going to use to give us that type of walk, if you want, condition? Now to him who's able to, that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Who's writing? Remember you always ask, who's writing and to whom are they writing to? At what time are they writing? You know, what dispensation? You have to even rightly divide Paul's epistles. Do you know that? From the Acts epistles to after the book of Acts. You know, when Paul got saved for about 30, in Acts chapter 9, for about 30 years, it is until Acts chapter 28. So things were going on in the book of Acts, weren't they? tongues, and people had the gift of healing, signs and wonders. You know, after the book of Acts, you don't see that. And Paul explained to the Corinthians that those things were going to pass off the stage. You know, and now we live by what? Faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, not by sight. And so it's Paul's gospel that what? Christ gave him. Because people go, I follow Christ, I don't follow that Paul. Well, Christ says to his Jewish disciples, if they didn't receive them, it's because they didn't receive him. Christ raised up, and we know that in this church, right? Paul has a unique apostleship. He saved them in Acts 9. With him began the body of Christ. What does Paul say in 1 Timothy, I believe? The first chapter.
15 and 16.
15 and 16. I was going to say 15, but I was thinking, am I getting it mixed up with rightly dividing and 2:15? Paul said he was a pattern, that Christ saved him as a pattern for those who will believe after. So Paul was we know that he was the first person in the body of Christ. In Acts chapter 9, God began the dispensation of grace. And over that period of time, Acts 28, Paul had got that full revelation, that whole body of truth called the dispensation of the mystery, or the fellowship of the mystery, that was hidden time past, but now. See, we know how important it is to rightly divide the word. But do we know how important it is to apply the word? See, that's a whole different ballgame. That's growth. That's where God wants to bring us to. And he says, now to him who is able to... let me slow down. Now to him who is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and what? The preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation and the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. So it's the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. What does Christ reveal about... What does Paul and Christ reveal to him about himself? That he's head of the body now. Paul said we knew Christ in the flesh. For your notes, it's, I believe, 2 Corinthians 5:16. But we don't know him no more. We know him thus no longer. See, we don't know him as Israel's king and Messiah, though we know about him. We know their program. We should study their program to see what God's doing there. But we should specialize in our program. That's in Paul's epistles, right? Know what God wants to do to us and in us and out of us, right? So we know Christ, and we need to be under teaching that's preaching Jesus Christ according to revelation and mystery. We know him as head of the body. We're the body of Christ, right? The church today. Many members, one body. Christ is our head. We're in union with him. He's what? He's not just resurrected. He's ascended. He's been glorified. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, right? In authority, high above all principalities, powers, and mights, right? And we're seated with him. You want to get to know about that? Go to Paul's epistles, right? To me, that's exciting. That means you're not under Satan's power. We've been taken out of his authority. We don't got to fear him. We don't got to focus on what he's doing in this fallen world. We can focus on God because God's greater. God's infinite. Satan is limited. God is not. And we live by sight, not by faith. You want some practical things for this week? Keep your eyes on Christ. And we'll see that. So God is going to establish us how? Through Paul's gospel that Christ gave him after his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and from heaven. And then the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation and the mystery. And you'll find that where? In Paul's epistles, right? Go to Romans 12:2. Back up a few pages. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Let me drink some of this holy water. One ex-Catholic got that. Excuse me. Can we have fun while we're learning? This guy does. I always hear him laughing at church. I just wonder, is he laughing at me? Or?
We all laugh.
But thank you. Well, I try and be funny sometimes because to me, I love pastors and teachers like our pastor. They're corny, his jokes, but they make you laugh. And it's sort of like you share something with laughter, like at a baseball game, football game. People don't even know each other. You know, there's a home run or a field goal, and they're hugging each other. Well, not nowadays, but, you know, I still do, but, yeah. But anyway, let's get, we get serious with the word, but we can have fun while we're learning. And the Holy Spirit, through Paul, says, and be not conformed. The idea of conform is pressure, pressurized. To what? To this world. See, Satan's trying to pressure you. He has methods. He has devices. You know, he throws flaming darts. And where are they going at? Your mind. The battle's up here. Why does Paul tell us take every thought captive? Because our emotions and our desires will follow our thoughts, what we're thinking of. If we're thinking of Christ, if we're rejoicing in God's grace, we're completely forgiven, we're justified, God can use us. He can use us in our families, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? And we're rejoicing, then we're going to get emotions of joy and peace, right? There's the fruit of the Spirit. He's going to produce that in us. And also, we're going to want to grow more. Because when you're growing and grasping things, and we never get there. When you think you're there, you ain't there. You missed the bus. You got off at the wrong stop. Because even Paul, I'll say our great Apostle Paul, because you look at his life. He's our pattern. He was never quit, right? No matter what they did to him. He kept going and proclaiming this mystery, reaching out to the lost. He's in jail. He ain't whining and crying. He's praising and singing, right? With others. And he's leading people. What'd he say about it might have been at the end of Romans, about Caesar's household. He's in jail. He's leading people to the Lord. Can we lead people to the Lord during the corno? During the coronavirus. Can we lead people to the Lord? Can we rejoice in the Lord? With the riots? That's if we're focused on the Lord. Are you focused on what's going on? Paul says to redeem the time, didn't he? Use this time. My cousin's son, they called me up about a dog. You know, I train dogs professionally. You know, he said, "What's up, dog?" You know. They didn't say that. But they said, I hated that when I first heard it. I said, I ain't no dog, man. Well, I'm a dog man. I train dogs, you know, and so you call it, a lot of people call you a dog man. But anyway, but I remember when I heard that, I'm like, I'm a child of God. I'm a human being. I ain't no dog. But I got the idea after a bit. It's an intimate term. Hey, dog, like you're my friend, you know. street slang, right?
Yeah.
And my boy had no about the street back there. That's why he's got his back against the wall. That's what you do in jail. Put your back against the wall and, you know, people got to come from the front. I'm just playing with you, man. Anyway, Paul says, be not conformed. Oh, so anyway, he asked me about, and then I'll get right back to the verse. Getting this dog, and he said, I don't want to breed them or anything because nowadays you don't know what's going to happen. You know what I did? Bam, I jumped on that. I said, you know what? You're right. We don't know when we're going to go from the corno, the riots. We could die. We could walk outside, get hit by a car. You know, we could have a heart attack. I said, that's why I'm so glad I trusted Christ, died for my sins. And he was buried and he rose. And the moment I trusted in that, His Spirit came in and dwelt me. Now I have eternal life, and I know I'm going to heaven, not because I'm good, not by what I do or don't do, but because of Christ. So I took that fear he had bam, plant the seed. So I appreciate, Paul said one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. I pray that you'll use that, or pray about that seed that was planted. And so Paul says, be not conformed to this world. Well, how do you not be conformed to this world? Or should I say, how are you conformed to this world? What do you got to do? Nothing. If you stay out of this word, if we're not praying without ceasing, that just means staying in a prayerful attitude. It means being focused on God. And we're talking to Him. We're pouring our hearts out to Him. If we're afraid, be anxious for none, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests be made known to God. And what? And the peace of God that passes all understanding will protect your mind and heart. So when we're focused on God, we're in this word, we'll see. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? How does God transform us? By the renewing of our minds. You see, God deals a lot. There's a whole doctrine of thinking in the Bible. It'd be a good study for you to just look it up. Different words about thinking. And that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's not three different things. Some people try, God has good for you, He's got acceptable for you, and He's got perfect, and the perfect will of God for you. No, it's all the same thing. How is God going to transform us? Go to, well, we know this for 2 Timothy 2:15 for your notes. Let's repeat it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So what's the first word in that?
Study.
Study is wearing some, I don't know if I said that right, to the flesh, isn't it? You don't feel like studying. You ever notice every time you want to get down to studying, every time I do it, I think of something else.
Yeah.
Some pops in your head. Because we got the sin nature still in us. Oh. Like, I'll be going like this. And I'll feel a hair out of place in my mustache. And it drives me crazy. I'm like perfectionist. So all of a sudden I go in the bathroom and I clip it. And now I think of something else. And I go, oh, no. I know that not today, devil. You know, because the devil works through our flesh. Not through our new nature. So we have to really decide we're going to get into the Word. Because it's the Word of God that renews our mind. And that word renew, see, it gives us a new way of thinking. And it re, what's re mean? Over and over and over. So we have to stay in God's Word. We got to come and assemble together. And then the doctrine you've been studying on your own, you're building up that that edifice of sound doctrine in your soul, right? When you come to church, it stirs it up. And as the pastor said, it brings it to animation in our lives. That's why people who think it's not important to go to church, they don't get it.
Nope.
Satan will tell me that. Oh, yeah. Don't worry about going to church. You can study on your own. You know them churches, they just want your money anyway, this and that. Now, some grace believers are stranded grace believers. Thank God for our video ministry and the Berean Bible Societies and the Les Feldix ministry. This sound grace Bible teachers. That's good if you don't have an assembly to go to. But if you can, you want to assemble together because you have something to offer the body too. Like I... Was it last week I taught Sunday school, I think, here too? And I mentioned, why are you coming? Just to take? Or are you coming to give too? Because everybody's is gifted in some way. And I always feel encouraged when I come around the body and I talk to you. There's something, it encourages me. It's just something, I call it magical. That's probably the word. It's encouraging, And when we lack that, Bill keeps me humble. He keeps bringing up how short I am. But that's all right, you know. I'm glad that he's awake today, you know. It's miracles never cease to astound me. So anyway, have in your mind, re means over and over. So that's why we need to stay in the Word of God. Would you live off your breakfast from last week, a week ago? It'd be pretty weak, right? Well, you ever hear that saying? 7 days without the Word of God makes 1 week. You know, so we have to sort of have that decision, if you want. I'm going to get into the Word. I'm going to stay into the Word. And then I'm going to depend on Christ in me by the power of His Spirit to apply the Word. And like I said, even our great Apostle Paul, he said, not that I'm there yet. I'm not already perfected. But I forget, right, what's behind. So you just take it from this day. You know, how many people's lives have changed in one day? They made a decision. They were on drugs, say. And they finally got so sick of being sick of being sick of it, you know, or something, whatever they struggle with, and they start doing something about it, you know. And that's today. If you ain't been into the Word, it's not been a habit, then decide today. But see, that's our choice. Or we can just come to church. Amen, brother. Oh, yeah, I know that's Holy Ghost, right? I know that's Holy Spirit. And leave church and stay in the comfort zone, right? But the thing is, do we want to grow? So we have to study God's Word, right? Study to show thyself approved unto God. So there's a way that we need to study it that has God's approval. Rightly dividing it, right? So as we rightly divide it, we're going to see there's a difference of Israel's instructions. There's some principles there that we can learn from. But there's a difference from their instructions under law and our instructions under grace. So we have to go to Paul's epistles to find out where's our instructions, where's our prayer promises, how do we grow, how does the Holy Spirit function in us in the dispensation of grace. And so, but it all starts with the Word. Go to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. A few books to the right. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. That's twice, right, honey? I repeat the verse one more time. First Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause, Paul says, also thank God for this cause. I'm sorry, I try and talk too fast because I'm always watching the time. For this cause, I also thank God without ceasing. See, Paul prays without ceasing, and what's included in his prayers? Thanksgiving, right? I thank God. Because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but it as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So we see God through His Word, right? That word worketh in the Greek has the idea of energizes. When you stay in the Word, it spiritually energizes your new man. Or if you want to be politically correct, your new woman. You know, it's who you are now. You're a new creation. King James says new creature. So if you want to, you like that term, your creature? I like the term new creation. Like you were a hairy caterpillar, right? Ugly, crawling on the ground, crawling in all kinds of funky stuff. And all of a sudden, you trusted in Christ, and you came out of that cocoon, and you weren't a hairy worm anymore. You are a new creation. You know, metamorphosis is the word. It's the same word that when it says in the Garden of Gethsemane that Christ was transformed and he's shown like, you know, the light, like the sun. Well, that idea is he was always like that inwardly, right? He's God the Son. But the flesh veiled, you know, where you couldn't see that. But so when we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, what's true inwardly, we're children of the light. What happens, it starts expressing itself outwardly. What's Paul say? Work out your salvation, not work for. See, it's applying the word of God. And then what's he say? Just so you know it. For it's God who works in you to both will and to do according to his good pleasure. God takes pleasure in working in you. I love that. When you study the word of God, it never gets old. You can't exhaust it. It keeps blossoming, like Kirk would used to say, our old pastor, like a rose, right? It's more beautiful, more majestic, and you just, in your prayers, you're just like, God, you're so wise. You're so faithful. I look at Israel in the Old Testament, how they failed them. And, you know, he kept with long suffering towards them, right? And what about us? You ever put yourself in the Pharisees' shoes? You ever look down on somebody who don't understand right division? You ever look down on somebody who's struggling with some sin you ain't? That's a Pharisaical being conformed to this world, because religious people like comparing themselves to people who aren't as moral as them. The child molesters and the rape. Well, I'm not a child molester, No. But you have a perverted, corrupted, sinful nature, just like I do. But what's fantastic about grace, Romans chapter 6, the cross broke the power of that sin nature. So we don't got to give in to it. That's where Paul says, reckon your... See, that's our part. Christ did all the work, right? Paul says, reckon yourself dead indeed to sin. Why? Because you died with Christ. You were buried with Christ. That you and Adam no longer exist. Praise God. You're the new creation. This butterfly, fly. You don't got to walk over garbage anymore. You can fly above, high above this world. Those who wait upon the Lord will what? Mount up with, there's a principle, mount up with wings like the eagle. They'll walk and not faint. See, that's because they're looking for their strength in God. And that's a principle no matter what dispensation you live in. So see, all scripture is useful, right? It's profitable for doctrine, teaching, right? So, what did I say we're at? Yeah. All right, go to chapter 5, verse 17 and 18 of First Thessalonians. Chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Here's God's desire. Rejoice evermore. God wants us to rejoice, right? Isn't that wonderful? God takes pleasure in working with you, in you. For it's God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. He rejoices to see his children growing. But when we're stubborn and when we're allowing the flesh and the world to control our thinking, then God don't love us less. He just got more of his best. He don't want us to stay there because he wants to see us rejoicing. He wants to see his children growing. Aren't you, who have children, aren't you proud of them when they're growing and they're applying what you teach them? Because a lot of times they ain't, right? My poor mother, man. So he says, now here. So if you want to grow, we've already seen how important it is to be into the Word on a continual basis, right? And also, prayer is just as important as the Word. I didn't realize that years and years ago. I knew how important, once I learned to rightly divide the Word, how it's important to study, man. I would pray, but I didn't see the importance as much. But Paul talks a lot about praying without ceasing. That means staying in a prayerful mindset. It's not closing your eyes and, walking around all day long, you know, at your job, bumping into the senior citizens and falling over their wheelchairs, or, you know, you're driving in the Spirit. Well, let me pray because the Holy Spirit will direct my ways. You know, it's not like that. It's just, you could pray with your eyes open. You can pray kneeling. You can pray standing up. You could pray laying down. It's not your body posture. It's your heart attitude. Amen. It's realizing that privilege that you have to have access to God. You know, sometimes I think maybe we don't pray because we don't realize how precious that is. You know, and unbelievers don't have that. You know, because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them directing actually their prayers too, because we'll see that. So we need to be praying without ceasing. And then in our prayers, what should, you know, Paul tells us in Philippians 4:4-8, right? To be anxious or careful, that means full of care about nothing. But by prayer and supplication, so be specific. When something's bothering you, bring it to Abba. Bring it to Papa. Jump in his lap. Say, I'm kind of stressed, Father. I need your spiritual embrace. Thank you, I have access to you. And what's he say in everything in verse 18? Give thanks. Our prayers should be, there's so much to be thankful for about. Prayer is not just asking God to do stuff for you, to change your situation, or change them. Lord, correct them, will you? You know, it's, prayer is so much more than that. It's intimacy with God. It's connection with the divine. So in everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it's an attitude of gratitude as we're praying. Go to Romans 8, 26 through 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 29. Romans 8, 26 through 29. Likewise, so in the same way, the Spirit also helpeth us in our infirmities or weaknesses. For we know, now, what are we weak about a lot of times? We don't know what to pray for. Maybe we ain't been in the Word. I'm doing a thing on Facebook right now on Thursday nights on Paul's prayers. So we're going through all the books. And if Paul's our pattern, we see what he's praying for, and then we can learn. Because a lot of people, when they come to understanding how to rightly divide the Word and the grace message, you know, because they were praying about healing and prosperity and all this and that, you know, they don't know what to pray for. So that's why I'm doing that study, to help those who are new to the grace message, but also for us to edify and challenge believers too, that we pray according to God's will in the dispensation of grace. So he helps us in our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. What happens then? But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So when you hear somebody saying, I was praying in the Spirit, you know, speaking in tongues, in the language of angels, and no, because it can't be uttered. So that means they ain't praying in the Spirit. They might be praying in the flesh and in their emotions, you know. But if you notice some here, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when? When we're praying. He ain't just praying for you or interceding. It's when you pray. He's taking what's in the will of God and bringing it to God. So you don't got to worry about, am I praying perfect? God just wants you to talk to him. Pour your heart out to him. Tell him what you're worried about. How about praying with thanksgiving? What about the things in your life that you're rejoicing in, that you're really happy about? Me and Mary are taking up Filipino fighting arts, and I was thinking, God, something to do as a family. You know, I don't want her to get too good. She'll be telling me, oh, you better get to them dishes, and I don't do dishes. So I'm glad I got 6 years on her in martial arts training. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints, how? According to the will of God. And we know, we all know this verse. This is my life verse. But look at the context, what it's in. And we know that all things work together for good. God turns all things together for our good. Can you rejoice in that? What are you going through? Have you thanked God in it? I didn't say thank Him for it, because God don't cause the bad things. But He turns it around for our good. Do you want to grow more like Christ? Do you want to grow in your individual spiritual life? Well, do you want to be equipped to minister to people? Anybody? Throw me an amen once in a while, okay? Amen. You know, I used to come out of Pentecostalism years ago. That's why you always hear me back there saying amen, because it encourages the one teaching. Because sometimes, you know, Satan attacks your mind. Look at them out there, they're sleeping, and it must be teaching a boring, you know, different things, yeah? An amen says somebody out there, you know, is hearing me. So anyway, he says, and we know that all things, so what are you going through? What are you facing? What are you struggling with? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So if we want to minister to other people, be used of God, it says, with the comfort, God's a God of all comfort. And with the comfort He gives us, we're able to comfort others who are going through any troubles. If you don't go through nothing, you got any experience? If you've been molested as a child, and I was, who better to help somebody who went through it? If you were on drugs, and I was, I did a lot of stuff. You know, when I think that I'm still even here. You know, younger being a gangbanger and the drugs and the life on the streets. You know, if not for the grace of God, where would I be, right? But all them things, if you've been through a divorce, if your child died, who better to minister, to have a ministry to people going through that? If you dealt with depression, and God has brought you through, who better to help somebody going through it, right, than you? Because you got some experience. And you're able to understand them, and you're going to have compassion on them. Because people who don't go through things, a lot of times, you know, they're just like, they just can't get it together, can they? You know. But that person who's been there and remembered sometime the heartache, you're just like, you want to go like my wife does. When somebody's going through something, she just grabs them and she starts crying with them. You know, while I'm standing there looking dumb. I'm sharing some Bible verses, but she's demonstrating that compassion. I always say she's the heart of her ministry. She had a real bad headache today, so I miss her singing. She said she wasn't going to sing today, but maybe at the end, if you go, we want Mary. all right, let's see. How does God work all things to our good then also? For whom He did foreknow. So God knew you were going to trust in His Son. He also did predestinate. Now, don't let the Calvinists take these verses and twist them out of context, okay? It didn't say He predestinated you to be saved. And in Ephesians, He didn't say that either. But they read that into it. God predetermined something. What? To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the predestination is, God shows when you're in Christ, He's going to work all things for your good to conform you into the image of Christ. That's what God wants to do. That's His purpose for us. Do you want God's will in your life? Amen?
Amen.
I want to become more like Christ. I don't like myself when I'm letting my flesh, you know, it corrupts. It's always there. You know, it's like in Genesis where God told Cain, this was after the fall, watch, lest sin is crouching at the door. It's like a tiger just, you know, getting its claws in. And that's where we got to take them thus captive right away. You got to get used to learning how to wield that sword of the Spirit. And reckon yourself dead to sin. See, we're equipped, right? God's given us armor. But part of that armor, you got to put on. He wants us to be adult children, not babies. Adult children, they know how to get dressed, right? Babies, you got to, you know, or even children, put them in sometime what they think is ugly clothes. I remember my grandmother made us clothes. Go to, I got to end. For your notes, go to Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. Let me just read that. I won't really go over it, just so you know what I'm talking about. Ephesians 3, 16 through 21. Paul's praying that God, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. The Holy Spirit in you. That Christ may dwell, that means live comfortably. Take His shoes off. In your hearts by faith. That ye be rooted and grounded in love. And remember, this chapter from the very beginning is about the mystery. That whole body of truth. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. I believe the context is understanding the mystery. And then it's going to do something. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. The Holy Spirit has to teach us that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you be filled with all the fullness of God and not be filled with the Spirit? No. Think about it. The Holy Spirit's God. That's what He's praying about. Now unto Him that is able, that's of power, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You see, in us, that's resurrection power, resurrection life. The Holy Spirit, as we appropriate by faith what we have in Christ, the Holy Spirit takes what Christ accomplished and makes it real in our experience. And others get to see that in our lives. It adorns the gospel. And the last verse of 2 Corinthians 3, 15 through 18. And I can't believe it. I got all my verses in.
I'm sorry, pardon? 2 Corinthians?
Huh?
What verse?
2 Corinthians 3, 15 through 18. And I'm not going to stay long because I'll close up. One thing you're going to notice here, don't get yourself back under law, legalism, performance-based acceptance with God, not your own or anybody else's. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, what's he talking about? The law. The veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it, or in my New King James, it says one, which I think is a better translation. Nevertheless, when one shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now catch this verse. But we all believers, who are not placing themselves under law, but we all with open face, beholding, what's that word, what do you think of? Holding. Keeping fixed. Beholding the glory of the Lord. Where do you see him in glory? Seated at the right hand of the Father. Not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Not the suffering servant. Though we do see his love there. Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, with closing, I'm going to read this. I'm going to read it twice, okay? It sort of sums up everything, hopefully, that you'll put together from the study this morning. I'll leave you with this. God grows us as we stay in His Word, rightly divided, right? We know that. We stay in a prayerful mindset, stay focused on God, and by dependent faith, appropriate those amazing truths that our Apostle Paul writes to us about. That whole body of truth he calls a mystery, hidden time past but now revealed. Did you want me to read it again or no? You got it?
Read it again.
Okay. God grows us as we stay in His Word, stay in a prayerful mindset, and by dependent faith, Colossians 2:6, as you began in Christ Jesus, continue in Him. It's the same faith that we got saved by, that we lived the Christian life by. And by dependent faith, appropriate those amazing truths that our Apostle Paul writes to us about. That whole body of truth he calls a mystery, hidden time past, but ain't a secret no more, but now revealed. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of prayer, for access by the blood of Christ. He purchased that for us. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for letting me be a part of a church that understands how to rightly divide your word. And out of that, and understands that whole body of truth your son gave our Apostle Paul, called the mystery for the body of Christ. And because of that, there's much love here, Father. I pray if we have a problem with anyone, Father, that we would apply your grace and forgive as we've been forgiven, that love would continue to stay manifested in our church. I hear the pastor say so many times when people come here that they just see the love. And that's just... I think of what Christ told his apostles. They'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. So I pray, Father, if there's one who's never trusted in Christ, even if they've been in this church all their life, or maybe somebody watching the video or listening to DVD, and they've never trusted in Christ, they've never realized they're a sinner in Adam, they can't change that, and you're a perfect, holy, righteous God, and they can't approach you on their own filthy unrighteousness, but that Christ did all the work, that he died for their sins personally. He was buried and he rose from the dead in order to that you could justify them, declare them righteous, so you could give them eternal life, spiritual life, resurrection life. I pray, Father, also for us, that believers, that you just give us a desire to grow and the patience